Do you have sisters in the house? Can all the sisters shout a big amen?
Amen.
Sisters, I believe you can do better than that. Sisters, can you shout a big amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Do you have brothers in the house?
Amen.
Brothers, do you have brothers in the house?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we shout a big praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
You can do better than that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And the sisters say?
Amen.
Brothers. Amen. It's good to have fun in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited because of what the Lord is doing, and I'm excited because He has given me life. Amen. If anything, I'm excited because I have, God has given me this opportunity to be breathing fresh air on planet Earth today. I know there are people who woke up in the morning and they don't have that opportunity. They are laying either in a morgue and they cannot even breathe any fresh air. But I'm excited that the Lord has given me an opportunity to live yet another day. That means that He has a purpose for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? God has given you a purpose this morning. You are not in a morgue. Somebody say amen. Somebody say I'm alive. Somebody say really, I'm alive. And I'm kicking. That means that God has a purpose for you. Amen? Your purpose will never, never, never be alienated. It'll have to be established. Amen? And as long as you wake up in the morning, do you know there are some things that are just a miracle? How can you explain that you can go to sleep? Even those people who have gone, you have studied a lot, you have gone to school and you have so many degrees and that is all good. Sometimes can you explain to me how you slip out of subconsciousness and you just will realize you're just alive and you wake up in the morning and you're kicking up the blanket and you are saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. In a while that you did not recognize yourself. Maybe you had some dreams, some funny dreams. Maybe you're being chased by something, or maybe you saw yourself in heaven. Or maybe you encountered angels in your dream. But in the morning, even before that alarm clock sounds, God has put an alarm clock in your brain that tells you, come on, it is time to wake up and breathe fresh air. Hallelujah. Today you can breathe fresh air. Amen. Do you know there are people in the hospital, and I thank God for the so many nurses that we have here, medical people. You have seen people who cannot, they're bedridden and they cannot even lift up a limb, not even a finger. But this morning, not only can you lift up a finger, but you can walk into the house of God. And you can lift up your holy hands and bless the name of Jesus. Amen? Uninhibited. And that's why when you come into the house of God, this is not a house like any other. This is the house of your Father. Amen? Are you listening to me? It is the house of your daddy. It is just like where you can go to your home and you know you have, when you go into your house, you don't have to ask for permission to do whatever you want to do in your house. You can go into the kitchen and you can make a cup of tea. You can go into the bathroom and you can do whatever you want to do in your house. Amen? Why? Because it is your house. Amen? But if you come into my house, I don't want to find you going everywhere, in you know, my bedroom everywhere. I'll ask you, what are you doing? You need to have courtesy. But when you come into the house of your God, the house of your Father, come early. And when it's time to call upon His name, call upon His name. Amen? There is a blessing when you call upon His name. Hallelujah. There is a blessing when you commune with Him. Because He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Somebody shout a big amen. Amen. I'm really, really excited about a story that I want to share with us. It is from the book of John. John chapter number 12. I don't think we are going to read, but I'm just going to probably, maybe we can read just for the sake of somebody who comes to church and say, you know that in that church, they don't even read the Bible. Yeah, I know that. You know, they just speak and speak, and I didn't see a Bible being flipped. And the pastor didn't even tell us, turn your Bibles into the book of this and that. So for the sake of those people, let's turn our Bibles into the book of John chapter number 12. Amen. John chapter number 12. I love the word of God. The word of God is like a hammer. It shatters a rock into pieces. Amen. The word of God is active and alive. It penetrates into the bone marrows. It kind of brings forth the intents of our hearts. The word of God is a cleansing agent. The light, word of God is a light. Amen? Hallelujah. So let us focus on the word of the Lord this morning in the book of John, chapter number 12. I think I can read the first few verses, so that we can get a foundation of what we want to learn today. The Bible says, how many are in the book of John, chapter number 12? If you're there, can you shout a big amen? Amen. Amen. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Oh, let me repeat that. I think I mixed myself up. Then 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha, who was a sister to Lazarus, served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. The Bible says, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil. Somebody say costly oil. And spikenard anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would soon betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have with you always, but me you do not have with me always." Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, sprinkle this word with wisdom and knowledge, Father. Father God, let the going forth of this word, Lord, bring understanding and clarity, Lord, so that we may understand what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us today. Father God, I hold every mind to be attentive to this word and to the voice of the Spirit, even as we communicate, as I communicate this word, even as you communicate this word via me, O Lord. I'm just a vessel, and I pray that, Father God, as we come to the end of this text, Father, we shall say that we sow the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout a big amen. 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 I would like to ask you a question. How many of you have ever used a perfume and, you know, at some point in life, you know, that perfume was no more or it was never available in the stores, and you happen to be in a place and there was somebody who was wearing the same perfume, and it reminded you of places that you know, of where you smelled, or you know where you smelled that perfume, or the people that smelled that perfume. How many of you? You mean, I just saw Hannah's hand and Pastor Francis. Okay, did you understand what I'm saying? Or maybe most of you have never used a perfume. Or did you understand the question? I ask this question. How many of you have ever applied a cologne or a perfume or an oil? And it could be some, it doesn't have to be really a perfume. It can be, like a lotion that had a particular smell. And at some point you cease to apply yourself, or maybe your better half, you know, cease to use that cologne or lotion. And then at some point later, you know, down the road, you know, some time passed, and you happen to smell that smell, and it reminded you of somebody who was applying that cologne. Or, you know, you remembered, you know, a time maybe when you are in that, you know, you wore that cologne. How many of you remember that time? How many of you have experienced that? Praise the Lord. For some of you, so this is going to be hard, so I have to explain everything to some of you who did not lift up your hands. Praise the Lord. The fact of the matter is, this has, somehow the way our brain is wired by the Almighty God, smell has a very strong connection with things that we see with our own eyes. smell has a very, very strong connection with the things that, with the places that we might visit. And the same also is with music. Sometimes I can be listening to some music and it reminds me of a place where I was. Especially like now, I was listening to, I know some of you are going to say, even Pastor, you listen to those. Sometimes I overheard a Kiswahili, you know, some Lingala songs we used to listen over the radio. I heard somebody, you know, like Simba Wanyika. You know, you remember those songs? Okay, don't act like you're so saved and like I'm so backslidden. Or maybe some of you were not born when those Lingala songs were being played in the radio. Were you born? Huh? What did you say, Mom? No, I'm not going to say. Maybe I can ask our music teacher maybe to remind me of one song so that you can remember a Swahili song. I remember there was a song that used to say to go like this. Momba, molandie mumbae, molandie muweza, anae wafamwe, yo yo ye ye, na kweli mola ye ye ye. Now, most of you maybe were not born. You remember that one? I just chose a good one. Now, if I can hear that song, it reminds me of a place where I was in Nakuru one time, and I was playing soccer, and I had, you know, a band playing that song, you know? Or you can be listening to some music, and it connects you to a place where you are. In the same way, when you smell something, or when you smell a cologne, sometimes it reminds you of something, that you are doing, and you're smelling that perfume, or something was happening. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that smell has a very strong relationship with things and places that we go. Praise the Lord. And here is a dramatic story of a lady who just loved Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know the story of Mary and Martha, and I don't need really to explain to you. You know what happened, actually. They had a tragedy happening in their home, and their brother, the Bible said that Jesus used to frequent their home. Jesus had a relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. In fact, the Bible says that he was their friend. Amen? Now, who do you consider to be a friend? A friend is somebody that you spend time with. Amen? A friend is not somebody you just come into a meeting today and you say, oh, today you're my friend. No, that's an acquaintance. Because, you know, you have not spent time with them. A friend is somebody that you spend time with. Somebody say amen. Yeah, so, and Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was a friend to Lazarus. And then tragedy hit in their home. And as their brother died, and Jesus was actually doing ministry somewhere else. And Mary, the Lazarus sisters, called on Jesus where he was. And Jesus tarried. He didn't come right immediately. Let me tell you, sometimes you can be in a tragedy. And I remember a phone call I received the other day. Somebody really, really wanted, wanted me to go and see them really urgently. And they made a phone call, and I remembered, this scripture. They called me and they said, Pastor, I need you right now. I need you, please, drive. Whatever you're doing, stop. It is emergency, come. And let me tell you, I had to stop what I was doing. It was in the middle of so many things that I was doing. I had to drop everything, dress up so quickly, and drive like crazy to where it was. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're a minister, you have those calls. When you're called and people are going through difficult situations, they need your physical presence so that you can pray with them. Praise the Lord. And I remembered when they called on Jesus, Jesus tarried for 2 days. But eventually, he came, and because he knew exactly what he was going to do, he was going to resurrect Lazarus. And so there's also one experience whereby Jesus is visiting the home of Lazarus. Actually, to be honest with you, I don't see many homes where Jesus frequented as he frequented the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And the Bible says, as he came to visit them, Martha was doing a good thing. She was in the kitchen preparing some mandazis and some tea for Jesus, while her sister Mary, the Bible says that she sat next to her feet and listening to every word that proceeded out of her mouth. And, you know, it looked like they were engaged in an intense fellowship. And Martha was in the kitchen trying to prepare to put on the fire so that he can put a sufuria of tea. Maybe they were trying to make Jesus some mandazis or some samosas so that you can entertain them, the king, the Lord. They understood that he was the Lord. Amen. And Martha comes into the scene where Jesus was with Mary and they were having a very serious engagement. And he is telling Jesus, what are you talking about when I am so and overwhelmed? I work in the kitchen. And what is this that you're talking that Mary cannot even find time to come and help me in the kitchen so that I can make you a cup of tea? And you know how the story went? What did Jesus say? Martha. And it, like, she did not listen. She said, I don't even understand. I don't know why. What are you talking? And she said, Martha. And she called her again, Martha. Why are you bothered with so many things? Why are you so worried about so many things? And she said to Martha that Mary, your sister, has chosen the right thing. Amen? That's what she told Martha. She told Martha, your sister Mary has chosen the right thing. And what she has chosen cannot be taken away from her. I want to put across to you a statement that sometimes we get bothered with so many things. And sometimes we might be engaged in, overwhelmed by the things that we are engaged on. And these things are in pursuit of livelihood. But only one thing is required. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things shall do what? Now, that has been spoken so many times over our ears until it is almost like a cliche. You know, almost every preacher who stands up will say that kind of a scripture. But if you didn't know, it is the reality. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The way God wants us to strategize in living our lives is by seeking him first, by giving him honor, by giving him the first priority in our lives, by putting him on the top of the list before we put any other agenda on our list. And he says that when you do so, I will ensure that those things that are below me will be fulfilled and accomplished. Praise be to God. But you know what? We cannot do it vice versa, whereby we put the other things that are important in our lives and essential, what we think that are essential in our lives, and we put God somewhere in the middle, and we think that everything will go on well. God will not be able to sort us out. Because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be done what? Shall be added unto us. And so Jesus speaks to Mary and he tells her that, you know, your sister Mary, she is under my feet. She is listening to every word. As she listens to my word, faith is building up, because she might need this faith in times of calamity. This is not the only time that she will need it. She knows that she is storing up faith enough for use in later times, because there are things under her list that will require faith. And unless she spends time with me, it would be difficult for her to handle those other situations. So you need to listen to every word that comes out of the word of the mouth of God, because when that happens, it builds up your faith, because God knows there are certain things in your agenda that cannot be accomplished by your own strength, that you will need an invocation of a higher power so that you can be able to accomplish those things under the list. Somebody say praise be to God. Hallelujah. And so Mary had a relationship with the Master. There are certain things that we struggle with, but even as we struggle with those things, there is the core thing in us, the real us know that there is a God in heaven and that he is being involved in our lives. We may even struggle to believe God sometimes, but there's that thing that keeps on to propel us, the passion that we have received the Lord and that he has created brought a difference in our lives. You know the things that you used to do, but now you don't do those things no more, even though I might even be able to struggle to know whether God is going to be involved in this thing. Is God be able to deliver me in these things? Yet I know that God really has done some work in me, and the scripture tells me that he is at work in me, causing me to will and to do that which is the perfect will of my Father. Amen. Mary, when Jesus comes and Lazarus is dead and Mary comes into the picture, she runs and they say, where have you been? It's been 4 days now. My brother is dead. And she just breaks up and she's crying. And Jesus, because of a relationship that she had with Mary, she knew what Jesus was God, and he knew exactly what was going to happen. His brother was not dead. He was just asleep. Remember? But when Jesus saw Mary crying and sobbing and mourning her brother, Jesus could not hold it. Even though he was God and he was just about, you know, probably I would think that, you know, Jesus would say, so why is he crying? I'm going to bring his brother soon. I'm just about to revive his brother. So why should I even be compassionate to her? Because I'm just about to make her glad, you know. I'm just about to surprise her, to give her the big old surprise until she's going to be glad. But when she saw the tears coming out of Mary, out of a relationship. Are you listening to me, church? Out of a relationship. Jesus could not help it. And there's no other place in the scripture where it is indicated that Jesus wept except at that particular moment. That he was moved by compassion because this girl loved Jesus. She was hungry for him. She was passionate about his presence. And when he saw her break in tears, he could not hold it. But Jesus cried as well. Amen? And that's why he said, where have you laid him? And you know how the story ended. He called Lazarus and he came out of the grave and he popped up of that grave and there was victory. You know that story, right? And so, I really love this family. They called, even though it was 6 days before the Passover, they recognized what Jesus had done. When somebody does something good for you, it is good to say thank you. Amen? There are people who are done good by people and they think that it is a right for that good to be done to them. It is good to have a heart of gratitude. Amen? Whatever you are, let me tell you, by the way, I'd like to tell you guys, if you have an opportunity, there's going to be the Teresia Werimo meetings that have been going on. They've been powerful meetings. And this afternoon it starts at 5. If you want to be blessed, you can make up there. I can give you the address. I think we had some posters there. We were up there, and it was just an awesome meeting. My goodness. The presence of God just moved in a mighty way is moving in a mighty way in that hall. So please, if you have some time at 5 o'clock, if I were you, I would be there because I know you're going to be blessed. So we had this lady talking about some soft skills, you know, having like an attitude of gratefulness, integrity. You know, when somebody does something good for you, it is good to tell them thank you. If you can't write a card of saying thank you, just pick up the phone or just show yourself up and say, you know, I really appreciate what you did for me. The people who have a very ungrateful attitude, they don't even say thank you. It is not actually, there are people who do not, whether they don't know whether they are supposed to say thank you. Now, if you didn't know that you're supposed to say thank you when somebody has done something good for you, know it today. That it is good to call them and tell somebody who has done a favor for you, thank you. This is exactly what the family of Mary and Martha did. They held out a dinner in the honor of the master who brought their brother to life 6 days before Passover. And they called their friends, and everybody was filled with awe. There was a lot of confidence build up. There was a lot of faith. They had a lot of trust in the master because he had just performed a miracle that many people had not even witnessed, even in that area. And people were gathered in this home. And Mary, the Bible says, just as he loved the master, went beyond what I can call even extra. People call it an extravagant worship. But I feel like she went beyond extravagancy. And she picked up, the Bible says that she picked up an oil of ointment that was very expensive. Amen? Very expensive oil. In fact, the Bible says that the value of this ointment was worth 1 year's wage of a manual laborer. Some other translations, it says it was worthy 1 year's worth of money. They used to pay in denarii. It was $300, you know, $300 worthy of oil. And I was thinking about what Mary did to the Lord. The act itself in front of all this multitude. Now, in the culture of the day, it used to be that, you know, if a king showed up, you know, as a kind gesture, somebody would come up and anoint them. You know, and anoint them with oil. It showed respect. It showed honor. It showed that you held them in high esteem. But Mary pushed it, you know, beyond. And this was a very, very expensive oil. And I said, you know what? She had the choice to go and get just a cheap oil to come and anoint the Lord. After all, maybe people would not know. But when people saw the bottle and when they smelled the fragrance, they knew it was an expensive oil. Praise be to God. What is your worship worth to the Lord? What is the cost? What is the value of your worship to the Lord? If we put some monetary value to the kind of worship that you offer to the Lord, and in times of when I'm talking about worship, by the way, worship, I'd like to explain a little bit about worship. I heard it of a favorite preacher who said like this: praise is, if you don't know what is praise, listen to me very carefully because I want you to understand. Praise is utterance given to anybody who has done something for you. Amen? When you know that the Lord has given you good health, when you know God has given you favor, you have money in the bank, and you have a good relationship within your family going, everything, you know, when at the push of the button, everything is working out on your favor. When you come to the Lord, you can praise Him for the things that He has done. Are you listening to me? That is praise. But worship is different. Worship is not the same as praise. Worship is recognizing that God is God, and that even though He has done to you anything, even though you are in deep problems right now, even though that you have not enjoyed any favor from Him, you still can worship Him. Lord, I come to You because You're God. And my life to You is, this is my worship for You. Not just because You have done anything for me, but I submit it to You because You created me to worship You. You worship God not because of the things that He has done for you. Are you listening to me, church? You worship God not because of the things that He has done for you, but you worship Him because He is God. Amen? He demands it of us. His creation. He demands it of us, we who have been created in His own image and likeness. That is worship. And worship cannot just be limited to an event, you know, like an experience. Like when we came up here, that what we did was worship. But that is not all that worship is. Are you listening to me? Worship cannot just be limited to an event. We cannot just say, oh, you know what? We worship God. You know, I worship God from 11:30 because that's when you know. But we begin at 11, but we worship God to say like 25. We give ourselves 25 minutes. You know, kwanza koroga, and you know everybody gets the motto, and then you know 15 minutes. That's when the pastor tells us, lift up your hands and worship the Lord. I worship God today. No, that's part of worship. But worship cannot just be limited to that. Are you listening to me? That is not that all worship is, but it is part of worship. Are you listening to me, church? Now, listen to me. Your life, every single day, every waking moment of your life is supposed to be worshiping God. Amen? When you wake up and you're walking to your place of work, and you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, and when people look at you, they wonder, what kind of a man is this? Because he is kind to everybody. He does everything that he is required. He is never late for work. He goes on time. He just does everything that is required from work. That is worship. Hello? When you find somebody who is discouraged, and you're saying, I'm the representative of Jesus in this situation. And you're beginning to encourage that person. Listen, that is worship. Your life, worship is a spontaneous experience from Monday to Monday. When we come up here and we gather together and we are coming to have this experience, this one-time experience for 25 minutes, is just a celebration of what you enjoyed from Monday through Sunday. Are you listening to me? So if you're not living a life, if we are not living a life that glorifies God from Monday through Monday, and we just limit it to this place, just this 25 minutes or 20 minutes caption, we are missing on God big time. But worship is spontaneous. It is a continuous process. It is saying, you know what? I wake up in the morning and I will commune with my God. And I'll tell you, and I'll command the affairs of my morning. I will dedicate my family to the Lord. And I'll pray for the church because God has put me in that church to pray for it. That is worship. Amen? Are you listening to me? Now listen, very beautiful thing. The Bible says that every prayer, every worship from your life, when God receives it, he doesn't just receive it as utterance. He doesn't just receive it as words. But listen to this beautiful thing. He receives it as incense. It is like incense. It is like a perfume. Every time you are being kind to somebody, what you know what is going before God? He is smelling it from you. He is smelling a perfume. When you come and you're coming early and you're calling upon the name of the Lord in this place, what God is seeing, what God receives from you, he is able to see the coating from the person it's coming from, and he receives it as a perfume. Your worship is like a sweet smelling aroma before the Lord. Are you listening to me? Aya, are you listening? Listen what the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2, verse 15. The Bible says this, for we are the fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are the fragrance of Christ. We are the fragrance of, come on, answer me. We are the fragrance of, now listen, this is now where it is so beautiful. That when Jesus tied on the cross, and that when he was buried and beaten up and he hung on the cross, and as he rose up from the Father, he carried an incense with him. It was a sacrifice that he was given unto him. It was a form of like a denial, self-denial, and completely yielding himself to the will of the Father. And the process that came as a result of his death and resurrection was like a sweet sulfur also before the Lord. Amen? And everybody who has come to the Lord and accepted him as Lord and Savior, he carries the same fragrance. Amen? He carries the same fragrance. That's why when you pray, the Bible says that he can smell the fragrance of Christ. And that's why I told you sometimes when you are in a certain place and you remember a certain fragrance that you felt somewhere. When your prayers are sending up to God and he is smelling Christ. When he sees you, he is smelling Christ. Amen? You are the carriers of the fragrance of Christ in the world. When Mary popped up that expensive perfume, and she began to anoint the feet of Jesus, the Bible says that the smell of the whole fragrance filled the whole room. It filled the whole room. Amen? And everybody within there knew what was going on. If somebody was having a conversation with somebody, they would stop that conversation and begin to sense where that smell was coming from. Amen? When people are doing their own things, they would stop and see, oh, I can smell something sweet. I can smell something that is so delicious. Where is it coming from? We have to stop this conversation. And here it was. Mary was anointing the feet of Jesus. Let me tell you, we are the carriers of the smell of Jesus. When we live in the world, when in our offices, are we going to represent the smell of Jesus so that when people are engrossed in their sin, they will stop to do what they are doing and say, where is that smell coming from? Are you listening to me? Somebody needs to smell that smell. Somebody needs to smell that precious smell. But let me tell you, church, if we don't exude, if we don't worship God, and I told you that we cannot just limit us the worship experience to an event. When we spontaneously worship God, what you're doing, you're releasing fragrance in the air. My God, are you listening to me? That fragrance is supposed to be effective. That fragrance is supposed to affect the lives of people. That fragrance is supposed to attract people to the source of that fragrance. And that fragrance is the Lord's. Amen? Now, every worship experience that you have, whether it be kind to other people, whether it be giving to the work of the ministry, whether it be to loving other people unconditionally, whether it be forgiving other people, whether it be coming to church and worshiping God with other brothers and sisters, whether it be calling somebody who is discouraged, whether it be counseling somebody who is having problems and helping them out financially or with your words of wisdom, when you do that, it ascends to God as a fragrance of incense. Amen. Listen to this. In Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 7, I read this and I said, whoa. I've read this before, but this time I said, whoa. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. This is in the book of Revelation. Verse number 8. Then the Bible says that when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowls. Golden bowls. The Bible says, each one holding a harp. I believe they were, well, I don't know how many hands they have, you know, these 24 elders. Maybe they might be having maybe many hands. But the Bible says that they were holding a harp, I believe maybe in one of their wings or whatever God has given them. And golden bowls, somebody say bowls, full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Are you listening to that? Golden bowl. In other words, when you pray, when you exude that exuberance of worship, God stores it in a golden bowl. And it is somewhere in heaven. Amen? My question to us is this. How many bowls of worship do you have in heaven that can be attached to you? That I can attach to Pastor Tony. I wonder how many bowls I have, golden bowls, that when they are worshiping the Lord and going, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God, the one that is, the one that was, and the one that is to come. And the seraphims are also worshiping God, falling day and night, and they're holding a harp, and they're holding bowls, golden bowls of incense. Remember what I told you? Every worship goes as an incense. And it does. Your prayers will not go into another golden bowl. It will go to your bowl that is dedicated to you. Amen? So do not belittle yourself in anything that you do for the Lord. It is ordered by Him. God recognizes even the littlest, if there's any word like that, even the tiniest act that pleases God, anything that glorifies God, it rises up as an incense. And it is held in the presence of God. That's why when you pray for your children, it never goes to waste. It might not be happening right now, but it is in the presence of God. It is being held by the 24 elders. I don't even know how they hold it. And I don't know, you know, don't think that the 24 elders, that one elder is just like the size of maybe a 5'7 guy. No one has ever seen them. It could be maybe the 124 seraphim is the size of the world. Planet Earth, Amma. I don't think there's any description of the sizes of these 24 seraphims. Amen? And also they could have an ability to hold this essence from the prayers of the saints. That's why when you pray for something, do not give up. Oh God, do not give up on your children yet. Do not give up on that job that appears to be dead yet. Do not give up on that dream that God spoke to you like 2 years ago. Do not give up on anything that God has spoken to you, because it is continuously in the presence of Jehovah. It is as they ascend up, as they worship Him, as they go down, they have the golden bowls of your prayers. Hallelujah. That gives me an encouragement. that every time I kneel on my knees to intercede for the saints of God, listen to me, Sister Mboy, if I'm praying for you, you don't have to be worried because those prayers have gone somewhere. They are somewhere in the presence of God, and it is just a matter of time, even though you have not realized what you've been praying for or what you has been manifested for. Something is happening because I know once God opens up a door, no devil can shut it. And once God closes on a door, nobody can open it. Not even the devils of hell. Are you listening to me? You don't have to be worried about things that happen as long as you have told God about it and you have faith that he heard you. All you have to do is stand still and see the salvation of God. Why? Because there are bowls of prayers continuously in the presence of God. And when God, anything is in the presence of God, oh yes, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Let me tell you, I was listening yesterday to what happened to Joseph. You know Joseph? He was sold by his brother. Man, I listened to this and I said, God, help me. This guy was explaining it like I've never heard it yesterday. He's a preacher in the radio. And he says, Joseph was taken up, sold out of his own will. Joseph was a young lad that loved the Lord. You know? He loved the Lord. In other words, there was worship that was going up out of his life. You know? And the brothers just were so jealous over him, and they sell him out, and they sell him out. In fact, first of all, they put him in a hole. They threw him out there. They left him for dead. This young man was worshiping God. And by God's grace, hallelujah, let me tell you, whoever has dismissed you, just laugh at them, because you know what? They don't know the God that you worship. When I see somebody looking down on me or just laughing at me, I say, they don't know my story. They don't know the story behind the glory. You know, I know I have had experiences with God, and I know God will never desert me. God will never leave you. God will never abandon you. People can abandon you, but God will never abandon you. People can say certain things concerning your family, but God has good words concerning your family. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of people, or are you going to believe the report of the Lord? And so this boy Samuel was taken in, and he goes out, and he is sold, and he is taken to Egypt. And before even time, it is like things actually were going from bad to worse. Joseph is taken to Potiphar. You know Potiphar's house, right? Was it Potiphar's house? And Joseph, the Bible says that Joseph was a handsome guy. And Miss Potiphar looked at her and she said, whoa, my goodness. Where did this young guy come from? Ooh, jeez. Huh? Today is today. And she said, Joseph, you have to sleep with me. But Joseph had the fear of God in his life. Joseph had the fear of God, church, in his life. Amen. There are going to come things. There will be things in our lives that will cause us, will be calling us to compromise or to step aside from the will of God. But when you know your God, when you know what God has done from you, when you know where God has pulled you out of, you cannot compromise. You say, I know Jehovah, and I can never deviate from his ways. And within no time, Miss Potiphar said, okay, you refuse to sleep with me, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And she removes all her clothes, and she goes running. This young man has tried to rape me. She went and talked to the workers in the house. She tried to rape me. Crying crocodile tears. Let me tell you, things are going to happen to us because we know the Lord. We will suffer because of him. Let me tell you, when things happen to you, things are not just happening to you because of yourself. It is because we have Jesus in us. And Jesus said that you will suffer many things because of me. Hallelujah. And Joseph finds himself in the dungeon for a number of years. What do you think was going through Joseph? Let me tell you, I looked at Joseph and I said, I can identify with Joseph. Joseph had every right to say, hey, not quite, God, it looks like he says that he will never leave me, but he has left me. Nobody seems to remember. God, first of all, it was not out of the fault of my own. My brothers went against me. They sold me in Egypt. And now here I am. Even Miss Potiphar lied that I wanted, that I slept with her, that I wanted to rape her. And God of heaven, you know. But I never did that. And you know what? She told Miss Potiphar, I cannot do this thing against the Lord. My God. I cannot. How can I do this wicked thing before the Lord? And because of his righteousness, he was put in prison. And he was there for a number of years. Now, some of you would not have an experience of being in prison. I've never been in prison, but I've been in a jail. Some of you are like. In Kenya, I was caught, you know matatu? The way they tell people, hey, kuna nafasi ya moja, kuna nafasi ya moja. You know, there's a space for one person. And so I was holding on there. You know the way those matatus, you know, they're in Kenya like this, and you're holding, like you're almost falling out. And the car and the matatu was stopped by the policeman, and all of us who was hanging out on outside were arrested, and we were put into the Maria, and we were taken to the jail. That was my first ever experience to be in jail. But you've never been in prison. It is not a good place. It is a solitary place. It is a hard place, especially when you know that you are in prison for things that you never committed, and. Joseph had the right to question, God, are you still there? Lord, I've really been standing for you. You know, Lord, that I could, you know very well that I didn't even attempt. She's that woman tried to do these things for me. But Joseph continued to serve the Lord in prison. And a situation came whereby there was a cupbearer who was arrested. And a time came, you know, and Joseph, was able to interpret a dream. That came and he said that the former cupbearer would find access to the king. And finally he prayed and he goes to the king and he said, when you go to the king, remember me. The guy never remembered Joseph. He was still in prison, man. For many, many years. What I'm trying to say to you, to us, is this. Sometimes we think that God can step in time so that he can work on our 24 hours. But also God can treat us outside time. In other words, time can be meaningless to him. But as long as we stand in him, it can be 1 month. It can be 2 months. It might be long. And things might appear not to be happening. But God sees your heart. And he sees your integrity. And he sees how you love him. And he sees how your heart is glued out to him. And at the opportune time, he will come for you. You know how the story ended? Joseph ended to be the prime minister of Egypt just because he held on. My prayer for us, Church Empowerment Christian Center, is hold on. Hold on. Don't give up hope. What is it that you've gone through? You've travailed and called upon God for too long a time. Let the essence go. Keep it going. Somebody say, keep it going. Keep it going up. Let it go up. Let it go up. Let it go up. Let it fill up the golden bowls. Let it fill up the golden bowl. That child that you've been praying for, let the essence go on her behalf. That job that you've been praying for, that business you've been praying for, let the essence keep on going. Let it go. Let it keep on going. At the opportune time, God will remember you. Amen? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Are you listening to me? Your prayers and your worship your prayers and your worship ascends to God, and it is stored up in golden bowls, and it fills all the golden bowls, which are the prayers for the saints. And it, as the elders go down every time worshiping God, how do you like the prayers of your children being held by the 24 seraphims? It gives me the confidence to wake up in the morning and know that what I'm doing is not in vain. When I pray for you, even when you do not know about it, I know that it is in the presence of the Lord. And when you're calling me and telling me, Pastor, this thing has persisted, I'll tell you it is going to be okay. Please keep on, keep on, keep on. Don't worry. Don't give up. Because I know I've done something. I've told the Lord about it. And I know my prayers are never wasted. I want you to know that your prayers are never wasted. I want you to know that your prayers are continuously in the presence of God Almighty. They're never wasted. Never wasted. Prayed for so many times, and I'm just concluding now. You know my story. I've said this story like until I feel I don't have to tell this story again. Prayed to come to America many, many years ago. I went to the embassy. And I know many of you have many, many experiences. I can't remember how many times I went and praying in that full gospel church in Akuru. We were waking up in the morning. Some brothers would come and knock on my door and tell the pastor, wake up, we need to go and pray. 5, sometimes 4 in the morning. And I would go and pray and plead my case before the Lord. And sometimes I would feel like the presence of God overwhelmed him. And I knew that. And I would feel like this is the time. And God would baptize me with a spirit of laughter. And I would laugh and I would say, this is it. And I would go to the embassy and I would be denied again. And I would say, your laughter ilikuwa ni yangu tu. You know, I would go to the embassy with this boldness, you know. This day, I'm going to get a visa. You know, confidence. With my things on the... And there's a lady who would call me like this. Same lady. By the way, the same lady would interview me. And she would look at the documents against the light to see whether they're authentic. And she'd say, you don't have any reasonable doubt to show me that you're coming back to back to Kenya. So, poof, she's stumped. And you know, you paid a lot of money for the deposit. All that money was gone. I would come home disheartened. My wife would look at me. She would not even talk to each other. And I said, I think, let me tell you, I can identify with whenever it's hard. I said, I think it's not the will of God for me to go to America. Kwani, what is this America I've been really hungry for? Until one day, somebody just came and told me, Pastor Tony, I'd like you to fill out these green card forms. You know, when we had the bomb blast. And this brother told me we are not just going to fill them, but we are going to form a circle and anoint them with oil. Actually, we anoint them on the top of the envelopes and we send them. And we forgot about it. But by the way, there was a delay. When the bomb blast came, there was a delay for about 1 or 2 years because of the process of the terrorist attack. And I remember at that time, I was still holding on faith, and I was used to go to church, and I used to go and do, I was a worship leader, and used to go very early in the morning. I never gave up, but things were really going rough in our house. I'm telling you the truth. I would go to Kisii with like a 1200 going to buy mananasi, and I used to sell those mananasi. Ukiniona mchana, unafikiri, hey, jahu jamaa kwenda mesokoto na shida. It's really pushed to a corner. Hey, mananasi, kobole. And I'll see my, by the way, I used to work in the bank, and I'll see my friends that I used to work with. They would see me in a corner and they would take another corner there so that they would not really come and be embarrassed me selling mananasi. And I used to chonga mananasi, peddler. So I've seen everything, man. Well, why would you want to know? Pigo na vumbi, langa langa mwisho. Some of you don't even know langa langa mwisho Nakuru. But God gave me favor. James knows what I'm talking about, he knows it. You know, dusty. You know, the dust storms that hit you, they come across you and you have the juice of mananasi. Ambu. Oh, nacheza. You have the pineapple juice and it's, you know, it's sprinkling when you're, you know, peeling for people. And when the dust comes, now you look like a really, I don't even know say what. But I say, hey, kubole, niyamwisho. And tell you, God gave me favor in that mananasi. In fact, I used to speak to those mananasi in the morning. When I brought them from Kisii, I used to speak to them. You pineapples, you are going to be eaten. And you are going to go, all of you. And let me tell you, I had favor. People would go to pastor. And they'll tell you, bring me 5. When you go to, because they were sweet, you know. And this lady came one time, I was in Langalanga. She would have a kagunia of pineapples. And she would ask me, she didn't even know that I was born again. She would ask me, what do you do? Because me, I have these pineapples in a bag. They stay, and you come with a pickup, and they're all gone. I tell you, I serve Jehovah God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, one day, that letter, it took, I think, about 3 years. And you know the way you would go to post office? I would used to go to post office because I used to apply so many places, even in South Africa. You would open the box, and you would go. No letter. Sometimes you prophesy over that box. You box, you have to have a letter next time I come. But let me tell you, church, one day, somebody say one day, the God of Abraham remembered us. Because I went to that same post office box. I opened it up and I pulled up a letter. And when I saw it, it had written U.S. Consulate. And I opened it. I was actually speaking in tongues. Lord Jesus. And I was opening it. I didn't know. And I saw the words. You know how those letters say, congratulations. You've been invited into the United States of America. I made a... Cut a long story short, guys. I went to the embassy when everything was done. The same lady who was looking at my documents against the light, she called me. She said, oh, welcome. In fact, I'm not even giving her the document. Welcome to the United States of America. I said, what? Is this the same lady? Is this the same lady? But now, she said, welcome to the United States of America. Church, do not give up. You might suffer, you might go through difficult situations, but when God remembers you, he will remember you. You know, I don't even know why I closed those so many doors for 5 years. I went through hell and high water, but God remembered us. And that's why I'm standing here, because of God. Therefore, I know my mandate was orchestrated by God. When I go through situations, I remind him, Lord, remember what you did in the days of the green card. Lord, remember what you did when my documents got lost in the airport. I'll give you that story next weekend. Of what happened to my documents. Stolen everything, laptop, everything, passports, green card stolen at the airport. And we didn't have any hope. Where's brother Alan? Alan knows about it. Alan is called by somebody from the airport. I'm talking of, you know, I already gave up. I went to the embassy, taken the fingerprints again so that I can process other green cards. Costed me about $800. I'm talking about 6 weeks later. Somebody called from the security, called Alan. At that time, he was walking around there. And he called Anna, we have some documents, and I think these are documents that resemble the pastor, somebody you are looking documents for 6 weeks ago. And let me tell you, when he brings me a bag, it has everything inside it. My passport, the way I had arranged them, God is God. I don't know who took them. I don't know who stole them. But he could not open and steal anything in that bag. I'm telling you the truth. The God that we serve remembers. The God that we serve knows you. He has a seal of ownership in your life. Do not give up hope. What is it that you've been praying for? Do not give up hope. Do not give up. Even though it, write the vision on the wall. Even though it tarries, it will surely come to pass. Amen. I don't listen to voices that are negative. If I know God says a word, I will hang on that word. And I know it shall come pass. Stand on your feet right now. In the name of Jesus. Your prayers goes in like an incense. There's no way your prayer can be in the presence of God 24/7. I remember I went to that when I was doing that that passport, you know, green card thing. I went to Catalonia and I remembered I hang on that word. And I remembered I was in cubicle number 7 and God told me, your visa and your wife's visa and your son's visa, Ron, is at the embassy. And nobody can take it away from you. And I hang on that word. Lift up your hands to the Lord. What is it that you've been crying out to God? Do you know, saints of God, you're so regarded highly. When God looks at you, you're not just an ordinary person. The way people have, you know, put you in a corner and they have dismissed you. They see your last name and they say, oh, this one doesn't amount to anything. Not so with God. God sees you as peculiar. God sees you as a man of integrity. God sees you as a nation changer. God sees you as a community changer. God sees you having a dream that cannot be taken by anybody. God sees the fulfillment of your destiny. He sees it from glory. He called on Gideon. We saw that last week. And he found him threshing wheat and he said, thou man of valor. Even though he never saw himself like that. That's how God sees you. A mighty man of valor. What is it that you've been praying for to God? What is it that has stagnated for too long a time? Oh, just write it on the wall, because it is coming to pass. It is coming to pass. Oh, I feel it right now. I feel that it is going to come to pass. If you can hold on a little bit longer. If you can hold on a little bit longer and not give up. It shall come to pass. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. I brought this word the way you put it in my heart, Lord, even to encourage your children. Father, if there be anybody who is almost at the 11th hour and feels like he is coming to the end of themselves, Father, rejuvenate their strength. Rekindle their strength, O Lord, to know that even though it tarries, it shall come to pass. Because the prayers and the worship that we spontaneously make to you, is stored up in golden balls. And Father God is in the throne room of God. What other better place can it be? Oh Lord, Father God, that gives me the confidence that I should not be worried. I should not be afraid, because it is in the presence of God. In the name of Jesus. Is it your marriage? Is it your children? Is it finances that have dragged you? Every time you want to attempt to do this thing, and it seems like the devil comes and steals up your money. Lift up that prayer to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. Tell him, I want you to sort up my finances. Sort out my marriage. Sort out the life of my children. Sort out the life of my career. Every time I go to school, I fail. Sort it out, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch us in a special way, my God. Lord, we have this hope and confidence in you that you will never fail us. David said from the time he was young until he was old, never saw a righteous person forsaken. You're not going to be the first one for God to forsake. You're not going to be the first one to be forsaken, my sister. You're not going to be the first one, my brother, to be forsaken. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that the scepter of the king, Father, may be lifted towards these children. In the name of Jesus, visit every single one of them, Lord, in their houses, in their places of work. My God, where they abide and where they live, Father. Inspire their spirits in the name of Jesus. Oh God of glory, let your scepter be directed towards each one of them. In the name of Jesus, as the Esther King, Queen Esther of old, who tarried, yes, for 1 year, being prepared to miss for just one adventure with the king, let it be so for them, Lord, that they will prepare themselves even as they meet the king every single day. In the name of Jesus, oh Father God, nourish them with your goodness and mercy and grace to the glory and honor of your name. I pray for every one of us who might be going through a struggle, who might be going through a problem. Father God, let them know that you are in control of that situation. In the name of Jesus. Father, if you did it for me, you can do it for them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Father, for schedules. Father, there are schedules that are misaligned so that people will not find time to come and meet with their God every Sunday. They will not find time to come and meet with God every Wednesday, to come and kneel down before the Lord, to send some incense to the Lord. I pray that you shall realign those schedules in the name of Jesus. That you shall give them access, O Lord, to find time to come to the house of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, open up doors of opportunities, doors of financial blessings in the name of Jesus. Send health their way in the name of Jesus. Send divine connections their way in the name. Give them favor with their bosses. Give them favor with their supervisors in the name of Jesus. Any word that is lifted up against any one of these children, I cancel and render powerless in the name of Jesus. Those that have spoken and said that they amount to nothing, or they will not prosper, or they will not succeed, I cancel those plots in the name of Jesus. And I declare victory over their lives in the name of Jesus. I declare victory 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 in the name of Jesus. In their careers, in their family lives, I declare victory in the name of Jesus. Show up, Lord, in their homes. And let us show off for what you have done for each one of them. If there be any person here who is not born again, never given your life to Jesus, I would never end up a service without giving you an opportunity. Might be here, never given your life to Jesus. The Bible says that he knocks at the doors of your heart. And he says that if you can allow him in, he will come and enter. And he'll give you a brand new life. The Bible says in the book of Romans 10:10, if you believe in your heart, then you'll be saved. Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you if you're not born again. Is there anybody who wants to give their lives to Jesus? In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. And bless you. If there be anybody who is sick in their bodies, Father God, I pray that you may send your healing power over their bodies in the name of Jesus. You sent your word to heal our diseases in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a mighty hand clap offering.